Tonight's message is don't be afraid, just believe. It's already December. The year has gone by pretty quickly. Would you agree? Yeah. Christmas time is here. Next week, Wednesday, December 25th, is Christmas Day. You know, in America, people have their ideas of what Christmas is about, what the Christmas season is about. To some, it's a time of travel to visit family. To others, it's strictly a time of exchanging physical gifts. And in some families, they exchange a lot of gifts. You know, to other people, Christmas time is about the great lights. You know, the light shows. And don't get me wrong, I enjoy the light shows here in Tulsa. I bring my family to the light shows in Tulsa. I enjoy those. But we, as true followers of Jesus Christ, know what the true reason for the Christmas season is. Amen? The true reason for the Christmas season is a celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ into this world over 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem. And thank God that God sent Jesus into this world, because at the end of his ministry, Jesus went to the cross and died for our sins so that by faith in him, we would have eternal life. Thank God that Jesus came into this world, and we are celebrating his birthday on Christmas. Tonight's text comes from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. Luke chapter 2. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house of the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." Let's look at verse 8. These shepherds were keeping watch over their flocks at night. They were humble, simple people who passed their days in the silence of nature. Right? And an angel appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. They were exceedingly afraid. The shepherds might have been thinking, did we say something wrong? Did we do something wrong? What is going to happen next? And the angel sensed the fear of the shepherds and said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." The angel was announcing that Jesus Christ, the joy giver, was born into Israel during a time that it was under the oppressive reign of Rome. Israel was going through a dark time under Rome, and the joy giver, Jesus Christ, was born during that time. And this is what the angel was announcing to the shepherds. You see, these shepherds, these simple, humble shepherds, received an unexpected visitation and they were struck with fear. In life, a lot of time, fear expects the worst possible end result. Perhaps today you received an unexpected notice of a bill that you've got to pay. And your mind starts thinking, maybe it's a big bill. Your mind starts thinking, fear takes over. Man, I'm not going to be able to pay this bill. I'm going to have to file bankruptcy. That's fear speaking. Maybe today you received an unexpected bad medical diagnosis. Today or maybe at some point in the past. And so maybe your mind started to work and fear took over. And you're thinking, man, this disease is going to end in early death. Maybe you recently received notice that your spouse is leaving you, is divorcing you. And so your mind starts to work and fear tries to take over and you start thinking, man, I'm going to be alone the rest of my life. Nobody else will ever love me. That's fear speaking. But what did the angel say? What did the angel say to the shepherds? Don't be afraid. And the word for us here tonight is don't be afraid. Fear not. The word don't be afraid that the angel spoke to the shepherds, Jesus also spoke into the lives of those to whom he ministered. Case in point, Mark chapter 5. Let's turn over to Mark chapter 5 if you got a Bible. If not, I'll read it. Mark chapter 5, verse 21. And it says this. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue rulers named Jairus came there. Seeing Jesus, he fell at his feet and pleaded earnestly with him. My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live. So Jesus went with him. Jesus went with him. And then in the midst of this, there's a crowd around Jesus. There's a woman who bled for 12 years that had strong faith that Jesus could heal her, and Jesus healed her. And then it picks up with Jairus again in verse 35. While Jesus was still speaking, some men came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. Your daughter is dead, they said. Why bother the teacher anymore? Verse 36, important verse. Ignoring what they said, Jesus told the synagogue ruler, don't be afraid, just believe. That's interesting. Ignoring what the people of the house of Jairus said, Jesus told the synagogue ruler, don't be afraid, fear not, just believe. That word believe from the original language can be interpreted, continue in a state of belief, Jairus. Keep on keeping on. Keep believing. Keep having faith. Jesus ignored what those from the house of Jairus were saying. See, those from the house of Jairus saw the situation through the lens of natural thinking. They were like, this little girl is dead and she is going to remain dead. They were thinking negatively. They were not operating in a spirit of faith. Remember what I said earlier. Fear expects the worst possible end result, but faith expects the best possible end result. So Jesus ignored what the naysayers of the house of Jairus were saying because he knew the miracle that he was about to perform in the life of that little girl. He knew the good thing he was about to do for Jairus's daughter. He knew that he was going to raise her back to life. So he ignored what the naysayers of the house of Jairus were saying. They were saying, she'll stay permanently dead. But Jesus was thinking, no, I'm going to raise her back to life. So Jesus encouraged Jairus, don't be afraid, fear not, just believe. Jairus, don't expect the worst possible end result like these people are talking about. Jairus, I want you to believe. I want you to continue believing. I want you to have faith in God. You need to know, Jairus, that the best possible end result is about to come about in the life of your little daughter. Is that good news here tonight?
Yes.
Jairus, I am the miracle worker, Jesus was pretty much saying to him, and I am amongst you, and I can raise your daughter back to life. Don't be afraid, just believe. And that's the word for us here tonight. Don't be afraid. Fear not. Just continue believing. Maybe that unexpected thing has come into your life recently, that report, that notice, and maybe it has struck fear into your life. Don't fear. Just continue believing that God can turn it around. Verse 37, he did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue ruler, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. So people were grieving the loss of this little girl. He went in and said to them, "Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. Again, the naysayers, they were laughing at Jesus. They're thinking, "Jesus, you're saying the child is not dead, but asleep?" They were the naysayers. They were thinking negatively. They were not operating in faith. They were expecting the worst possible end result. But Jesus walked by faith. Amen? Amen. So Jesus says, "She is not dead, but asleep." Think about that. She is not dead, but asleep. And I was studying this over the last couple of days. Jesus was not denying that Jairus' daughter was dead, right? Jesus was denying that she would remain permanently dead, because he knew that he was about to raise her back to life. The miracle worker, Jesus Christ, was in the house of Jairus, and he was about to do a miracle for him. You see, this little girl was like a person in sleep whom Christ was about to awake by raising her back to life. When Jesus said, "She is not dead, but is sleeping," Jesus was talking, he was speaking in faith. Say it again. When Jesus said, "She is not dead, but sleeping," Jesus was speaking in faith. Amen. Jesus was the epitome of walking by faith and not by sight. Are you a true follower of Jesus Christ? Raise your hand if you are. Then you are to walk by faith and not by sight. You are to walk by faith and not by fear. You are to walk in life with Jesus on your side, expecting the best possible end result, not the worst. Amen? You know, when the human mind, natural thinking takes over and you receive a bad report, the natural mind will start to fear, expecting the worst. It's just the way the natural mind operates sometimes. And he put them all out, verse 40. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him, and he went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately the girl stood up and walked around. She was 12 years old. At this they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this, and he told them to give her something to eat. He raised her from the dead. Let me say it again. Jesus was the epitome of walking by faith and not by sight. My word of encouragement to you tonight is this: don't be afraid, just believe. Don't be afraid at that bad report that you just received. Don't be afraid. Don't let fear take over concerning that bill that you unexpectedly received. Just believe. Continue to believe. Continue to believe. Keep on keeping on your faith in God, because God is able to turn it around in your life. Ignore what the naysayers are saying in your life. The negative thinkers, ignore what they're saying. You may have to separate yourself from those naysayers. Maybe it's a family member that has heard about this bad report that's come into your life. Maybe they heard about this unexpected bill that's come into your life, and they're telling you, "You know what? It's going to end in bankruptcy." Away with the naysayers. Maybe you received a bad medical diagnosis, and that family member, that person in your life, is saying, "You know what? It's going to end in early death for you." You got to separate yourself from the naysayers, because if you listen to what they say, that negative mentality could get into you. Is that making sense here tonight? You've got to ignore what the naysayers, the negative thinkers, are trying to say, speak into your life. Amen? I'm preaching to myself tonight because, you know, when I receive sometimes something unexpected in my life, you know, my mind starts to work and I start to get fearful. I start seeing the worst possible end result, and fear's cousin is worry. I start to worry. I start thinking about the same negative thing over and over and over. Anybody ever been there? You worry about the same thing over and over and over and over again. You know what? Most of the things that we fear and worry about will never come to pass. Don't let fear and worry keep you up at night. Don't fear. Fear not. Just believe, because God has got your back. Amen? Amen. Remember, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That means He never changes. Jesus is the exact representation of God. God never changes. The God who performed miracles thousands of years ago, the Jesus who performed miracles over 2,000 years ago when He walked the streets of Israel, is the same Jesus who reigns and rules on the throne of your heart. And that same Jesus who lives in your life is able to do a miracle concerning that bad report, that bad news you may have received recently. Amen. Is that good news?
Yes.
All things are possible for those who believe. I'm going to read you an illustration from the Preacher's Source Book of Creative Sermon Illustrations. Here it is. In her book, It's My Time, Ruth Bell Graham tells a story about her growing up days in Xinjiang, China, where her father was a missionary physician. The business manager at the local hospital told about a jolly gentleman named Mr. Cao Er. One day, as he attended prayer meeting, bandits broke into his house and kidnapped his two children, an 8-year-old son and a baby daughter. As word spread, the local Christians and missionaries gathered in earnest prayer. Never one to miss an opportunity to witness, Mr. Cao Er had a large sign painted and posted in front of the hospital gate. It said, in effect, the bandits have kidnapped our children and have demanded a 1,000 yuan ransom. I am not a wealthy man. I cannot pay 1,000 yuan. I cannot pay 500. I cannot even pay 50 yuan. But I believe God. If it is His will, He is able to bring my children back without any ransom. Passersby were amazed by his message, and it was widely expected that the children would be quickly killed. So these passersby were doing what? They were operating in fear and negativity. They thought they were expecting the worst possible end result, that the children would be killed, right? Weeks passed, and in the course of time, a band of soldiers broke in upon the hive of bandits. As they pursued them, they heard a sound from the ditch beside the road. One soldier stopped to look, and there he found a skeleton-like child lying in the ditch where the bandits had hastily thrown him. It was Mr. Cao Er's son. He had been imprisoned under a large overturned vessel and was on the brink of starvation, but he was alive and he recovered. But what of the baby girl? Later, there was another battle between the bandits and the soldiers. This time, the wife of the bandit chief was captured and she was found nursing two babies. Not twins, too near in age to be both her own. The daughter, too, was returned to her parents. Ruth recalls, sitting one Sunday in the little gray brick Chinese church, I watched as Mr. Cao Er, carrying his still too weak to walk son and his wife, carrying the now healthy chubby baby girl, walked forward to publicly give thanks to God and to dedicate both children to Him. Isn't that awesome? God is no respecter of persons. If He did it for that Chinese man, He can do it for you. God never changes. What God is looking for is faith. The word that Jesus gave to Jairus, don't be afraid, fear not, just believe, continue believing, is a word that is applicable to us tonight. One last account, Mark chapter 9, verses 17 through 24. This was about a son who was demon-possessed. A man in the crowd, Mark 9:17, answered, "Teacher, I brought to you my son who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive the spirit out, but they could not. Oh, unbelieving generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." So they brought him. When the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, "How long has he been like this?" "From childhood," he answered. "It is often thrown him into the fire or water to kill him, but if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." "If you can," said Jesus, "everything is possible for him who believes." Remember that here tonight. Everything is possible for him who believes. Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, "I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." And then Jesus cast the spirit out. And so that might be you tonight. You might be like, "You know, God, I've got some faith. but help my unbelief. God, I need stronger faith in you. I can't do this on my own. And when you get weak in your natural self, cry out to God and say, God, I want to believe. I want to have faith. I know that you can turn this situation around, but my faith is not as strong in you as it should be. Help my unbelief, and God will go to work on your behalf, and he will strengthen your faith. Is that good news here tonight? Just a couple more things. Strengthening your faith in God. Strengthening your faith in God. How do you strengthen your faith in a miracle working God? You strengthen your faith in a miracle working God by getting into the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Romans 10:17. If you want your faith to be built up, start reading the Word. The books that you read will influence the way that you think. They will influence your heart. Why not read the greatest book in the world, the Bible, and allow it to influence your mind and build up your faith? Read about Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Read Acts. As you see the miracles that Jesus performed in the Gospels, it will increase and strengthen your faith, because you're going to realize Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. The Jesus who did miracles over 2,000 years ago when he walked the streets of Israel is the same Jesus that can do it in my life. So how do you strengthen your faith in a miracle-working God? By getting into the Word of God. Not only at Easter, not only at Christmas. You need to be in the Word of God on a consistent basis every day of the week. You might not have much time, or you might have a lot of time. Start reading a few scriptures, then go to a chapter, maybe two chapters a day. Start reading from the Gospel of John. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. If you've got time on your hands, you could read the Gospels easily in 2 to 3 weeks. And read them again. And read them again. And meditate on the life and the ministry of Jesus, and it will build up your faith. One more thing. Strengthening your faith. Remember the miracles God did in the past. Psalm 77, one last scripture. One last scripture. Psalm 77, verse 11. The psalmist writes, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. You need to remember the miracles God did long ago in your life. It might be a month ago, it might be 6 months ago, it might be 6 or 10 or 15 years ago. Maybe you were diagnosed with a minor illness some time ago and God healed you, and maybe today, recently, you were diagnosed with a more serious illness. The God who delivered you way back when is the same God who can deliver you from that illness now. That more serious illness now. Remember the miracles of long ago that God did for you. That's what the psalmist writes. I will remember your miracles of long ago. Maybe you were faced with a smaller bill at some point in the past and God miraculously provided the finances. Remember that. The God that did it then is the same God who could do it in a bigger way for you today. Remember his miracle working power in your life way back when. Any good thing that has come into your life, small or big, in the past, remember this. It came from the hand of God. You need to remember it. And maybe today you're facing a really big, tough situation in your life. Remember what God did for you. The God who did it then is the same God who can do it today in a bigger way in your life. We serve a faithful God. We serve a great God. We serve an awesome God who created the universe and everything in it. Amen? Never give up your hope and your faith in the Almighty God. You sometimes just have to let go of control. You know, if you received a bad report in your life, and you're trying to control the situation, let go of control. Because guess what? God is in control. God is in control. And just say, God, you know, I try to have faith, but help my unbelief. Strengthen my faith in you. Get into the Word of God. Remember the miracles of long ago. Amen?